Right, I'm in chapter 16. We're started on the chapter on good works last week. If you don't have a copy, we got a copy back in the book room. We get one, Russ, you can share there, whatever. So good. If you don't have it, you can pick it up afterwards. There's a notebook or two in there. If you don't have that, you're going to be with us. Certainly pick one up and enjoy it and hopefully make use of it. All right, chapter 16, I'm on page 328. We finished the first paragraph, which defined for us, basically told us what good works are generally. And we learned that good works are what God commands in His Word. That's it. Now, if you stop and think about it, the entirety of your Christian life consists of doing good works. Right? When you speak to someone to encourage them in the Lord, it's a good work. Right? When you read your Bible, it's a good work. So don't minimize this matter of good works and don't make it only apply to putting an offering in the offering plate or doing something extra, doing something beyond your normal activities, because good works make up everything you do. It's either going to be a good work or it's going to be a bad work. Not a good work. Let's just put it that way. All right? According to our definition. Now, you got to keep that definition in mind, because if you don't, then you start saying, well, wait a minute. You know, just being kind is a good work. Well, we're going to see as we go through this chapter that just being kind is not necessarily a good work. It's a good thing, but it's not a good work as we have defined good works and will continue to define good works. In our general principle, yes, it might be considered a good work. What God commands, God says, be kind one to another. So if I'm kind, am I not engaging in a good work? Right? And it's a good question. But we'll see that no, you aren't necessarily engaging in a good work. It's a good thing to be kind. But does it qualify as a good work before God? And that becomes important, very important. The other thing I want us to think about and want you just to keep in mind and consider, you know, we live in a day and age where there are a lot of people that are doing good things. They are, for some, trying to work their way into heaven. There are religions built around that, right? And it will avail nothing, but they're doing good things because they know if they don't, at least they believe, if they don't, they'll never get into heaven. So their life is made up of striving to do what they think will be pleasing to God and will be acceptable by God in when it comes time for them to be received or not received into heaven. So works, and I'll go so far as to say works that man would consider to be good works, right? Because I'm trying not to confuse terms here when we talk about good works according to what we're considering in the confession. But a lot of people are caught up in trying to do these good things. Now, the irony of it is that if you go to them and you say, now God's word says, you are to do this and you are to do this in relation to your neighbor, to the world, to your family, to your employer, to whoever. What are you accused of? Legalism. Isn't it kind of ironic? When you stop and think about it, that half of the world, probably more than that, but a large portion of the world is taken up with trying to, as it were, get into heaven by legalism. And the other part who says, no, we don't get into heaven that way. We get into heaven by trusting Christ, but don't bother me with legalism. And there is this great contrast. And you can see the confusion and, as it were, the work of the devil in taking what is good in the eyes of man and leading man to a false security, taking what is good in the eyes of God and making believers say, don't weigh me down with that. I'm free of the law. Don't encumber me. Encumber you? To do good works? Is that encumbering you? Well, I think that's questions that we need to think about as we go through our chapter here. So 16:1, good works are only such as God hath commanded in his holy word. And it goes on to say, and it's not what man devises and thinks to be good. Only such as God has commanded. If you don't know what's in God's word, it's impossible to do good works, even as a believer. And we'll see why. All right, 16:2, page 328. These good works, that is what was defined in 16:1, these good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith, and by them believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brethren, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of the adversaries, and glorify God, whose workmanship they are, created in Christ Jesus thereunto, that is, unto doing the good works, that, having their fruit unto holiness, they may have the end, eternal life. Right? And there's a lot there, but basically, the good works, we're told here, what the good works do, what they do relative to the believer that's doing them, right? Now, my first question, there on page 329, do you believe in a works-based religion? How many say yes? And how many say no? And how many say what Dr. Sidwell is saying is, well, define the terms for me. Tell me what you mean. It is a trick question, all right? How many believe in a works-based religion for salvation? For salvation, you can do works and gain salvation. Do what?
Who does the work?
You. I'm talking about this is the individual. Can you individually do good work and thereby earn your salvation? How many say yes? How many say no? Okay. No, certainly we can't earn our salvation by good works. What religion or what religions you think of that would teach that you can do that? Roman Catholicism, certainly. Jehovah's Witness, Islam. See, virtually every religion, when you get down to it, apart from Christianity, is teaching a works-based salvation, a salvation based on works. Okay? So this is certainly an important area to consider, because you'll have people about you that are doing good things in the eyes of man. Maybe sometimes doing them a lot better than the believers. And it's important that while we know and we guard any appearance of depending upon these good works to gain us favor with God before or after salvation, but that we also are careful as we talk to folks and deal with them to kindly and in love be prepared and ready to point out that your good works will avail you nothing for eternity. They'll make you feel good now. They'll do good for somebody, humanly. But for your soul, the sake of your soul, they'll do nothing for you. But on the other side, and some answered yes early on, a works-based religion, in what sense? Anybody that said yes originally that they believe in a works-based religion, want to tell me why? Well, it's based on the work of Christ, but relative to you, this is talking about us individually. Mark? Okay, would you call your Christian life works-based?
The basis of grace, God, and his activity. So that's where I hang up on.
All right. Works-based, is your salvation based on grace? Well, then is it works-based? Is it then works-based? Individually? Okay, well then, works-based, my point is that your salvation is based on the work of Christ. It has nothing to do with works. And I see where you're coming from. And to clarify the terms, my point is, though, that your Christian life, and I think what the confession is telling us, that your Christian life, as far as what you do, is certainly going to be evidenced by, and in part, in my terminology there, then based upon what you're doing. Now, characteristic, and I'm drawing the contrast, obviously, to the works leading to salvation, but Paul obviously makes the distinction and says, fine, I'll show you my religion. I'll show you my salvation based on my works. That's the ramification of, you know, you say you have religion, but no works. I say I have religion because of my works. Now, not salvation. But if my religion does not evidence itself in good works, there's something wrong with my religion. I mean, that's what Paul's basically saying, and that's what we're looking at here. James 2, there on page 328 in number 1. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, complete? 1 Peter 2, 9, there in number 2, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, a life, a Christian life, I think probably you would find an easier term. Can you have a Christian life based upon works? Yeah. But salvation, obviously, no. But I'm not, I use the terminology to draw the contrast between salvation and the Christian life after it. Hopefully, it's not terribly confusing, and there's probably a better way to have done it and said it. But I think you get the point. We aren't depending upon works for our salvation. Tim? But if I was asking and I said, do you believe in a religion based on human works, man's works? Yeah. And the confession is dealing with what we're doing. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Yes, our salvation is works related, all the work of Christ. Without works, yeah. And I mean, Paul's point is your religion ought to look like something. And if you are appreciating, if you are growing in your grace, if your religion doesn't move your heart, then your religion is pretty close to being dead. I don't know what your religion is meaning to you. If your religion can be self-contained, makes me wonder why. Should make you wonder why. Right? Because Scripture is full of do good works. Good works are what God has told us to do. Well, if God hasn't told us to do anything, we wouldn't even have this chapter in the confession to deal with. All right? Sure. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it, one way or another. There's certainly plenty of it there, starting with the Ten Commandments, starting before that, but certainly the Ten Commandments, we'll see, get into that as well. So this works-based religion, understanding not for salvation, but to be a mark of a Christian, yes. All right, that's the thrust of my question. Should your religion be evidenced by good works? And the answer, obviously, is yes. All right? And I come back then to what are good works? Good works are what God has commanded us to do, which is impacting everything you do. From the time you get up in the morning to the time you get up the next morning, your confidence as you lay your head on the pillow, that God is sovereign and will keep me through this night as he deems best is a good work. All right? The Word of God, obviously, we talk about this, is to permeate our mind and our heart. It's to guide us. We just divorce life from it far too often. It's not something that guides us in the bad times or in the high mountain times or on the Sabbath day or when we're having family devotions or when we're having our own devotions or whatever. It's not just that. It's all the time. Good works has kind of been obscured, kind of like we talked about with sanctification and repentance. It's okay, it's those extra times or those extra special events. That's not so. And if we start looking at good works as being okay, it's how I interact with folks here on this Lord's Day. Then if that's good works, I need to be careful how I interact, right? I need to make sure that how I interact honors the Lord. And in fact, isn't that what he's told us to do? To interact in such a way is to lift up, to encourage, to help, to teach, whatever it is. Isn't that what we're here for? To worship the Lord, helping each other in a proper worship? Part of good works. Right? Question to any other questions, comments? You got them, holler, raise your hand, whatever. Good. All right. Number two, good works are a manifestation of what? These good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidence of a true and lively faith. They're evidence that we have been saved. Okay? Good works as we're defining it. And why is that an evidence of our salvation? Because before you're saved, can you do good works? Yeah. Can't do good works. So if you are doing good works, using the term as we're using it, the only way that can be possible is for you to be saved. And we define a little bit more as we go into this, but that's the only way it can. So it's evidence of our salvation. And we'll see as we go into this, get into a couple more of the paragraphs here. That for people who have a hard time with their assurance, this is one of the ways that the Spirit of God can minister to your heart that you're a believer. If you are doing good works, the only way you can do it is if you're a believer. Now, again, being careful. Good works is more than just doing good things. And we'll keep going and get into that. All right? Secondly, it's evidence. It's somewhat synonymous with this. But it's evidence in connection with salvation. When we're saved, when the Spirit of God comes with that effectual calling, What's the first thing that happens, if I can put it that way. What has to happen? What's right here? Okay, a new heart. The stony heart, the hard heart, the indifferent heart, the heart that hates God, has got to change. And that happens. There is that new heart, that heart of flesh that's given. It's that heart of flesh that is going to become the fountain from which good works flow. Without that heart, you have all the head knowledge. You know the Word of God from Genesis 1 through Revelation, the last verse, and not have good works. No heart. It's got to be that change of heart. Good works are an evidence of salvation, a changed heart. If there's not a changed heart, it'll be very difficult to do anything. And that changed heart has as its primary goal what? The glory of God. The glory of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. One of the ways we enjoy Him is in doing good works. Right? And we certainly glorify Him in doing good works. If you look at number 4, our proof text there on 320, page 328, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Right? And there are the other proof texts there. Won't take time to go through all of those. All right? Anything else on that one? Good. Okay. Question 3. Who benefits from a Christian's good works? Who benefits from a Christian's good works? So, who do you think? I mean, let's start with the first one and look at your paragraph that we're looking at. Who's the first person to benefit? Yeah, the believer himself. And we've already talked about it some, but how does he benefit? Assurance. All right? And isn't that what our paragraph? Strengthen their assurance. Okay? Strengthen their assurance. And hereby, proof text there in 3, 1 John 2, 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him. If we, may I substitute, do good works, if we keep His commandments. What are keeping His commandments? Doing good works. We know, not that we know Him, it will help us to know Him. But that's not what the verse says. It says, we know that we know Him. It's affirming to us, it's teaching to us, it's assuring us that in fact we do know Him. Right? So it's helping us with our assurance. It's helping us in our growth, is it not? Good works tend to produce good works. You will find as you do good works that you enjoy it. Why? Why do we enjoy good works? Because they do what? They glorify God. And if that's our chief end, and we understand what that chief end means, we're going to enjoy doing good works. And when you enjoy something, what do you want to do? You want to do it again, don't you? If you enjoy doing something, hey, I enjoy this. I want to find a way to do this again. So good works help in our sanctification. They help in our Christian life, in assuring us they're good for us. You know, now that's not why we're going to go about doing them, is, oh, I want to feel good about it. No, but you will feel good about it. You'll enjoy it. I mean, I'm sure you've done something somewhere along the way for somebody, and the thought afterwards, you just said, I really enjoyed doing that for them. Just kind of a something that little voice that spoke to yourself. I'm glad I could help in this way. It's not that you needed a thank you from them. It's, well, what is that? Why do you even think that? You know, you stop and think about it. The unsaved person is not doing good works. They're doing good works maybe to feel good about it, but it's to feel good about themselves, not that they've done something for somebody else. Most religions are self-centered. Christianity is other-centered. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Right? Who else benefits? The brethren? Others? Okay, how do the brethren benefit? Okay, so good works are edifying. Now again, stop and think about it. Doesn't mean we got to have a lesson. So you're doing an act of kindness or something in keeping with God's word for God's glory edifies. It teaches so that others see your good works and glorify your Father. Others, including believers, they're encouraged unto good works. They're encouraged in examining their own heart as to why they aren't producing good works. Any number of things, and you can make the application. So we've got edification. If you look at Ephesians, and I would simply tell you, Ephesians is just a good book to read. For this, it's a good book to read, period, isn't it? All of them are. But Ephesians, especially the last three or four chapters. But look at Ephesians 3 for a minute. Ephesians 3:17. And he's giving things here, talking to the believers. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, and so forth. And here, this knowledge, well, gaining this knowledge was a collective effort here. It's individual as well. But there's a collective effort going on as well, the believers in the church. So we've got this edification, this teaching that we can come to understand and know what the Christian life is all about. If you look at Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 12, and he gave some apostles and some, that's verse 11, prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? So that they could do good works to the end for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and so forth. Right? And important stuff. I mean, again, Ephesians just full of things, and we'll talk about a couple more of them here. What else? Okay, we got edifying the brethren. Anything else? Okay. When we give the gospel, and you can look at Ephesians 3:8 has that. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here's Paul. He's doing a good work. I was saved to do, among other things, preach the gospel. And it's a good work. All right? So giving the gospel, teaching, edifying the brethren, helping others. Ephesians chapter 5. If you get into chapter 5, you've got good works in the family. Husbands with wives, wives with husbands, children. All right? Good works. Doesn't happen apart from salvation, but there are obligations. And failure to do those good works that we are commanded to do is what? Is it not sin? What is sin? What's our definition? Sin is any want of conformity unto our transgression of the law of God. Lack of conformity. What's lack of conformity? What do we mean by that? We use those words. What is lack of conformity? Well, I mean, is it not? We fail to become Christ-like. We are not being conformed to, as we're told, the image of Christ. You know, we sometimes focus, and not that we shouldn't, we tend to focus a lot of times more on doing the wrong things to people. You know, if I said, now, you shouldn't lie to about somebody, all right? Okay. Or you shouldn't lie to them. Or you shouldn't, be mean to them. You know that. But what about being kind to them? Okay? Is not being mean being kind? No, it's not. And if we aren't being conformed, you say, you're crazy. We can't keep that standard. How in the world would you expect any of us to be conformed? I'm not expecting you to. God is. Right? That's not my standard. That's God's standard. Be ye what? Holy. Be ye conformed. Be obedient in every aspect, respect of the law. And if you get into chapter 6 of Ephesians, you get into the master-servant. Today I would equate that to the employer-employee. And it cuts both ways. This isn't what I'm doing to those who are good and kind to me. It's even dealing with those that are being mean and abusive to me. Okay? You got no right to steal from your employer because you are convinced he is underpaying you. Or maybe even didn't pay you at all for stuff you had done. You know. But it's easy. The devil will certainly try to make it easy for you, justify it. You know, well, he owed it to me. Did he? Maybe he did. But who does vengeance belong to? The Lord, doesn't it? God didn't give you that prerogative. Good works don't allow you to inflict your set of justice into the situation. God says, you deal with this situation as I have told you. And only that way. And we talked about forgiveness. And that vengeance is mine is in the section, or in a passage, dealing with forgiveness. Why? Because it's a lot easier to forgive knowing that God's going to take care of it. And he'll take care of it perfectly. You and I would make a mess of it. Even if God gave us the ability, gave us the responsibility of administering his justice, we'd make a mess of it. Now, and we talked about it last week, there are areas where God has given certain authority, right? So don't misunderstand me here. But just generally speaking, one-to-one wouldn't be a good thing. All right. What, anybody else that is benefited by our good works? Quickly, as we'll close with this. What are our good works to do? They're to glorify God. So, in one sense, God's benefited by our good works. Right? And then, it would be encompassed in the sphere of doing how the impact on others. But in general, what about the world? We are the what of the world? Light and the salt. That's your good works at work. That's where the salt and the light comes from. Your good works. You got no good works? You are a turned off light bulb. You got no good works? You're good just to be thrown into the street. Your preserving action or preservative abilities are non-existent. Right? Good works is impacting all of this. Your life is a life made up of good works. So don't minimize this chapter. And it's a way, as it were, for those that would say, you're just a bunch of legalists. No, we're people that enjoy good works, don't you? Do you not believe in Christians doing good works? Well, yeah, okay, but we're on the same page. You may think of it that legalism is something else, but if you believe in good works and you're out to do good works according to God's word, I can get along with you just fine. We'll just not use the terminology that offends one another, and we'll understand we are both out to do the same thing. Yeah, you can do that. Don't let terminology get you hung up with people or in things sometimes. We tend to. Talk about it. What's one of the benefits of doing good works? One of the benefits is edifying. Well, you're not going to edify somebody, especially if in a conversation, I don't agree with you. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. Believer to believer. Now, if you're talking to an unbeliever, different conversation. But believer with believer, if you don't talk about it, you're going to have a hard time edifying. You find out, you know what? We're saying the same thing. We're just saying it differently. And here I was getting all upset. I thought you meant something entirely different. And here you're saying the same thing I was. You know, isn't that a lot better result than going off and saying, man, why in the world can't they see what I'm doing or saying? Well, maybe because you didn't take time to talk to them for a couple of minutes.